Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense, which, as we've seen, is not that common anymore. You know, have you noticed that violent crime is up all over America? Carjackings, smash and grab. You don't even feel safe anymore. People are changing their plans. People who used to say, let's go out and have dinner tonight, other than the fact that you can't afford it. Now you're afraid to go out there because something may happen. And that's not the America that we grew up in. And yet, America's premier law enforcement agency, the FBI, said, maybe that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is let's go and raid Mar-a-Lago. And let's see if we can find something there. Maybe the president has some classified documents or something. That's more important than the fact that our citizens don't feel safe. It's very, very interesting. It's starting to seem more like a banana republic. And, you know, interestingly enough, when Hillary Clinton was erasing all of those emails and asset washing her hard drive, and Hunter Biden's doing all kinds of despicable things, and we've got Russian misinformation going on. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And the Department of Justice didn't think very much about all of those things. But now, suddenly, you know, nobody is above the law. And we got to deal with all of this right now. I mean, this is for you, the American people. Does that seem a little strange? I think it is. Well, everyone, it's Ben Carson, your host, and I want to welcome our fantastic guest, a great patriot and friend, Matt Whitaker. Matt was the former acting attorney general, former U.S. attorney, co-chair of the Center for Law and Justice at America First Policy Institute, and also the author of Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. And thank you so much, Matt, for joining us today. I know you have a very busy dance card these days, giving your position in our society. And, you know, I'd like to start off by asking you, you know, what's the latest in terms of the Mar-a-Lago raid, and what are we to make of all of this?
Well, it's so good to be on with you, Dr. Carson, Secretary Carson, and, you know, and my friend Ben. You know, I have been following this situation since it happened a week ago. And as we sit here today, there's more questions today than we've ever had. And, you know, but I want to start with sort of the, you know, as an old football player, I want to start with the basic blocking and tackling. And the things that concern me the most are, you know, the Department of Justice chose to execute a search warrant. They had a lot of other means, less intrusive means, to obtain this information. And the first thing that, as I look at it, is why now, why last Monday, and what was the exigent circumstance that required them to immediately go in there and get this information? And as I process that through my experience at the Department of Justice, the only conclusion I can come to is that they wanted a high-profile public acknowledgement of the investigation into President Trump for what's characterized as a mishandling of classified information. I think this is directly related to their investigation on January 6th. You see how broad the warrant was when they released it over the weekend, and it allows them to grab a lot of things, including what's now being reported as many boxes of attorney-client privilege documents of the former president.
Yeah, exactly. It does seem rather strange because he's been out of office for 18 months. And all of a sudden, this is a five-alarm fire emergency. We got to go in and do all this right now. And, he had been cooperating and promised to continue cooperating. So, it's very strange that it's taken so long for them to come up with a story of why this is so vital. I think you're still working on that, China. But isn't that the way that totalitarian governments always start? They start doing stuff and then, well, we don't necessarily have to explain ourselves. I mean, this is who we are. We're the powerful. And it really is so antithetical to the way that America is supposed to work. Whether the president did something wrong or not, there is a reasonable way to find out. And it should be done in a transparent way. Because I think one of the biggest problems that we face as a nation right now is distrust. No one trusts, the DOJ anymore after this.
Yeah.
We didn't trust the CDC, don't trust the NIH, don't trust the Fed. Everybody's given us false information. And then what makes it even worse, it's not so much that people can't make a mistake, because, they're human beings, they make mistakes. But they never admit it. They never say, we got that wrong and we're sorry. You never hear that coming out of the government these days, and that's a real problem. But, another thing that's very interesting and troubling is, violent crime is on the rise across our country. I just want to deviate for a moment and ask you, as the former acting attorney general, chief law enforcement officer of the country, why do you think violent crime is on the rise in our country?
Yeah, I think it's directly related to what's now referred to as either the Minneapolis effect or what's the old Ferguson effect, which is in our major cities, the political leadership, which the police officers and police chiefs work for, has not supported the men and women that wear blue and that we count on to run to the sound of chaos and to save lives, and who answers the phone on 911. It is, if you look at these cities where you have this rise in violent crime, there are two things that have happened. One is the political leadership has not supported police, and in fact, they've defunded or cut the budgets of the police. And at the same time, that's been coupled with radical prosecutors who are unwilling to do the cases. For example, Dr. Carson, we have in New York City a situation where while the police arrest people that illegally possess guns, the prosecutors are dismissing 80 to 85% of those cases without any consequence for the person who not only possesses a gun, but most likely was going to use that gun as a trigger puller or as a potential murderer. And so this is where the police don't feel supported. They can't get their cases that they actually do prosecuted. And so what else? Human nature would suggest that they're not going to press in to this problem, and criminals see it as well as anybody else. And coupled with that is those same prosecutors are not doing the, you know, what I would refer to as, I guess, low level violations of the law, but, you know, the breaking and entering, the what's sometimes called nonviolent offenses, but they're, you know, violent to the victims. And you end up with a demoralized police force that is having a hard time not only retaining the current members of law enforcement, but recruiting new members of law enforcement.
Absolutely. And, you know, think about the poor citizens. I mean, we should not have to be worried when we go out of our house. In many cases, we have to be worried being in your house. Somebody may come in and start harassing you. And you may not even be able to get police backup. And then if you shoot them, you may go to jail. I mean, it is really a terrible situation that's going to require some significant input when we get the right people in office. And I'm not talking about Democrats versus Republicans. I'm talking about people who believe in our country, believe in our Constitution, and believe in the rule of law. They can come from any political persuasion. And we really need to get rid of the terrible partisanship that exists. I think it exists for a reason. I think there are people who are trying to foment the distrust amongst individuals and make us think that we're each other's enemies, and we are not each other's enemies by any stretch of the imagination. But if they can get us to believe that and manipulate us, then that takes them along their goals. And then you look at things like the George Floyd situation. It was played incessantly and talked about incessantly to the point where most people were starting to think that unarmed black men are being killed by police all the time, that this was a regular event. And it is not. It is far from regular. In fact, as I pointed out in my most recent book, Created Equal, the number of police civilian encounters per year in America is over 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
The number of unarmed black men killed by the police per year, according to the Washington Post, that bastion of conservative thought, is less than 24. So, you know, any number is too many, but I mean, we're talking about something that's vanishingly rare.
Right.
And yet is manipulated into people thinking that. So we do have a problem not only with the crime, but with the way that it is portrayed in our society.
Well, and Dr. Carson, if you don't mind, and I don't have an answer. I've thought a lot about this, both when I was inside the Department of Justice, but especially in the summer of 2020. What happened to George Floyd was inexcusable. Obviously, the police did not follow their policies and procedures, and four officers have been prosecuted both by the state of Minnesota and by the federal government for civil rights violations, and everyone's seen the video and knows what happened. The question I have for you that I can't seem to have anybody answer for me, and I don't expect an answer from you because it's a really an unanswerable question, but is that happened in Minneapolis. The Minneapolis Police Department works for a Democrat mayor and a Democrat city council. And in fact, if you look at the makeup of that city council, I don't think there's a single Republican to be found. But that being said, why within the week, and I think it was within days of George Floyd's death, did we have protests and some violent protests outside of the White House? The connection that was made, and it looked like a very well-funded, organized connection, that somehow what a Minneapolis police department and its officers did to George Floyd was somehow related in any manner or means to Donald Trump and the presidency and the executive branch was a complete false narrative. But, you know, the news media ran with it. You know, of course, you know, we had mostly peaceful, fiery protests. If you remember that famous Chyron on MSNBC with the city burning behind, I think it was Velshi. And, you know, I just, obviously there was an organized desire to take that event and somehow blame Donald Trump for it. And I just think that was unfair then. It's unfair now. And, you know, the political violence should never be the answer, but you know, we have to treat it the same way, whether it's committed by those on the left or whether it's committed by those on the right. And that's, you know, the two-tiered system of justice that, you know, I talk about all the time, that the American people, to your point, just can't stand for.
That is so on point. And, you know, it really is disturbing that the media has played such a large role in all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, if we had an honest media, they would be making sure that people understood all the things that you just said, instead of, you know, basically being lapdogs for those who are trying to fundamentally change our society. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is that when socialist and communist regimes take full power, the first thing they do is totally control the media.
Yeah.
They don't realize that they're preparing their own doom. And that's kind of sad, but I hope we can get them to realize that as time goes on. You know, another thing that I think is very concerning is, you remember last year, the Department of Justice bought into a false narrative that parents who were interested in taking part in their children's education were terrorists. Mm-hmm. That should be treated as such. And of course, the backlash was so severe, they kind of backed off of that. But I think that had a lot to do with the election outcome in Virginia, quite frankly.
Yeah. And your opening, I think, really captured that feeling, is what are the priorities of the Department of Justice? You know, it's parents at school board meetings, it's passengers on airplanes that don't want to wear masks. And now it's obviously the continued obsession with Donald Trump in trying to investigate him until he finally, I guess, gives up fighting back, which is never going to happen. You and I both know that. But, you know, I just think that the Department of Justice should be focused on, to your point, the basic blocking and tackling of law enforcement, reducing violent crime in America, ending child sex trafficking at our southern border, you know, mm-hmm. protecting our citizens so that every child, no matter what neighborhood or socioeconomic class, can play safely in their front yard. So, you know, that's something you and I know both feel strongly about, and I join you in any effort to make that happen.
Well, thank you. And we're here today with Matt Whitaker. I think everybody knows who he is, a former acting attorney general. And we will be back in 1 minute. Please stay with us.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, and we're back again with former acting attorney general Matt Whitaker. He's been in lots of different roles, but that's the one that is most relevant to all the things that are going on right now in our society. You know, when we look at some of the things that have been done in the past by presidential candidates, Secretary of State, relatives of president, with little or nothing being done about it, and then we see something like what happened at Mar-a-Lago, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have a two-tiered justice system? And if we do, Is it of recent origin, or is this something that's been going on for a long time? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, the perception has become the reality, and that is that we do have a two-tiered system of justice. And I'll just give you some examples, from really modern history. We had, obviously, the Russian collusion fable, which was investigated and covered breathlessly by the media. But ultimately, you had Andy McCabe place the sitting president of the United States into a criminal investigation as a target. That triggered, Rod Rosenstein to appoint a special counsel in Bob Mueller. And that investigation spent millions, tens of millions of dollars. And ultimately, the report, if anybody read it, over 400 pages, said that the president of the United States had and his campaign had no connection to the Russian government, full stop. And so that, that started kind of what it was believed to be a, kind of this constant and ongoing desire to investigate Donald Trump. At the same time, you can't help but notice what happened to Hillary Clinton and how she was declined. They declined to prosecute her, as you remember James Comey famously saying no reasonable prosecutor would bring that case for her having a private email server where she exchanged lots of classified and highly classified information. You have the Hunter Biden situation where there are recordings and pictures of him committing various federal crimes, including being a drug dealer in drug user in possession of a firearm and possessing quantities of crack cocaine that are an amount of distribution quantity. You have, just so many other examples where, the left is not prosecuted and people like Donald Trump are prosecuted, to the fullest extent of all available laws, both at federal and state level. And so, Dr. Carson, I think it's hard not to believe that there are two different systems and our republic will not be able to last another 250 years if we don't get this back to a normal balance where while no one is above the law, we cannot have people that are below the law and are constantly harassed and investigated in hopes of finding something.
Well, interestingly enough, you had Peter Navarro, a high-profile individual, harassed at an airport, put in handcuffs, put in leg irons, put in solitary confinement. His crime? Contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm. A misdemeanor.
And then you had Eric Holder, very high-profile also. Contempt of Congress? Nothing.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. Not a whisper. And, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit back and watch this stuff? And is there anything that can be done? Or are we helpless as American citizens who are seeing all of these transgressions going on?
Yeah, I think we need transparency out of the Department of Justice. We need better explanations than we have received to date about all these things. The Eric Holder declining to prosecute him for contempt of Congress. He was held in contempt because he was unwilling to share the information on the Fast and Furious project that was selling illegal guns to Mexican drug cartels, resulting in the deaths of Americans. And he was held in contempt, not prosecuted. You have Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, among others, that have been or are being prosecuted. And we just, it is another example, to your point, of the perception that we have a two-tiered system of justice and that the Justice Department is going to be used as a political instrument to punish Joe Biden and his administration's political enemies. It's very, very dangerous. And quite frankly, for people like you and I, it is a scary proposition.
It seems like they just kind of thumb their nose at us and say, yeah, maybe you don't like it, but just too bad. It was John Adams who said that our Constitution and our system was designed for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we have any other right now. And it doesn't seem to be governing it very well. It's something that I hope that Congress, who has the ultimate oversight, will begin to recognize that you can't just let these things stand. We can't just all sit around and complain about them and let them stand. And I hope that the American citizens recognize that our Constitution did provide a mechanism for dealing with abject corruption. And it's called a ballot box. And people need to realize that this is one of their most valuable tools. But it also means that we have to be willing to fight. You know, like the people in Virginia, they all got out there, they volunteered. They covered 96% of the voting precincts. And they insisted that they be able to actually observe what was going on. They couldn't be 25 or 100 feet away, so they couldn't see what was going on. You don't accept that. You don't just sit down and say, okay, that's what you said, that's what we'll do. No, we don't do that. And those are blatant things. And I think we have to, we the people, have to recognize that the responsibility lies with us if we're going to preserve freedom for those who come after us. Because as Ronald Reagan said, our freedom is never more than one generation away. All we have to do is take our eye off the ball, and you can see how quickly it goes away. But I wanted to ask you, you know, Director Chris Wray testified recently. Did anything of significance come out of his testimony to Congress?
Well, it didn't. You know, Chris Wray is a very smart and talented person, and he's somebody I worked directly with. I think Americans should go back and watch or listen, especially Ted Cruz's discussion with Director Wray. You know, I just talked to Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, as part of my show, Liberty and Justice. And, you know, we talked about some of the challenges at the FBI. But, you know, the FBI has been politicized. There are over a dozen whistleblowers that have come to either Chuck Grassley or Ron Johnson.
And that was the next thing I was going to ask you.
Well, we can talk about that. But they, so those whistleblowers have come and they've talked about the politicization of the DOJ and especially the FBI. And the fact that I'll just give you one example and then we can get into your question. But the example that I point to that is well known is that when Hunter Biden's laptop was originally discovered in October of 2020, of course, reporters, as you know how Washington works, reporters call everybody they know at the FBI and the Department of Justice, and especially those that are on that type of case. And they ask, is this a real thing? And those people, you know, off the record, not for attribution, so you'll never see the fingerprints of these folks on it, they suggested that it was Russian disinformation. And then at the same time, you had 50 plus members from the, you know, Democrat intelligence community that also said that this was Russian disinformation. Well, lo and behold, you know, it wasn't. It was the real deal. It was Hunter's laptop, and it had evidence of many and multiple federal crimes on it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, the fact that, these federal agents came forward seems pretty encouraging to me. And maybe that might encourage some others to come forward, too. Because, you know, we have to recognize, the people who work in government have to recognize that their allegiance is to the people. It's not to a particular party or a particular leader. But their duty is to uphold the Constitution. And before they took those jobs, they swore that that's what they would do. And I think we have to keep reminding of them of that. But, you know, as a country, the rule of law obviously has some pretty deep cracks in it right now.
Yeah.
And it's very harmful to our country and to our way of life. How do we regain confidence and our government institutions and law enforcement? I mean, what should the DOJ and the FBI be doing to get that back? Or is it too late?
Well, so I think we need some reformation at the FBI especially, but at DOJ, I think we need to look at kind of their structure and how they do business and see if there's a better way, see if there's a way to maybe even divide it into other you know, in a couple possible units or agencies. I'm a little cautious on that front only because I know that that will just cause, instead of one agency growing, that'll cause two agencies to grow and metastasize. Because, you know, remember Reagan said it best, as government expands, liberty contracts. And right. So I just, you know, I'd be cautious, and I'd want to make sure there's some very serious guardrails about the scope creep that we see in a lot of federal agencies, and especially sometimes in federal law enforcement. The other thing is very simple but profound at the same time, and that is we got to get back to the basics of law enforcement. And, you know, that is, you know, doing the right cases for the right reasons, having the correct priorities, and at the same time making sure that we have people who have a strong adherence to the rule of law, who don't try to put their thumb on the scale, who don't try to peek from underneath the blindfold and, you know, kind of affect elections and affect politics. And it's going to be a long-term project that I don't know if we have the right people in place today to accomplish that. Unfortunately, you know, those right. whistleblowers point out a very concerning trend, which is there are partisans that are doing law enforcement at the federal level, and it's hurting our nation. But yeah. we're going to need leaders. We're going to need brave leaders that are willing to roll up their sleeves and do this work. And I just hope that, you know, to your point, the American people put individuals into the executive branch and the presidency over the long term that will surround themselves with people that are of the not only the highest moral character, but also are willing to do the hard work of taking on the bureaucracy of federal law enforcement.
Well, we appreciate having people like you looking in on the situation. But what do you think is going to be the role of these 87,000 new IRS agents? I remember in 2013 when I gave the National Prayer Breakfast, within weeks of that, I had my first audit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, I think, one of the most concerning phenomenon and this law that's passed that adds, really pluses up, you know, the IRS, I think, is, you know, they can't help themselves but getting involved in every American's life. And, you know, the whole idea of having these extra agents, Dr. Carson, is to raise money. And so they essentially have a bounty. These 87,000 agents have a bounty on, you know, going and getting more money out of the American people. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that most Americans cheat on their taxes. In fact, I'm guarantee you, knowing my fellow American citizens, that it's a very small part. But, you know, to find more money to pay for these radical left-wing agenda items in this bill, they're going to sick more IRS agents after ordinary Americans, assuming that they're cheating and making them prove that they're not.
Yeah, and spending a lot of money in the process.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to report that they never found anything in my audits, which they did for the next couple of years. And they're not going to find anything, because I'm not going to do anything wrong that I know of. And you'll remember how the left came after all of Donald Trump's secretaries for one thing or another. For me, you know, it was, he spent $31,000 on a table. Oh, what a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
And the IG spent over $1 million of taxpayers' money investigating it before they came up with zero, because there was zero to come up with. And then something else they said, my wife had an office at HUD, and my son was involved in decision-making. Oh, all kinds of garbage.
Yeah.
$2 million of taxpayer money into that. And of course, they found nothing, because there was nothing to find. But, you know, why waste the government's money? Why not actually do things that are valuable to the people of our country? And you've been doing that. I want to thank you for that. And we'll be back with our last segment in just one moment.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, and welcome back to Common Sense. I'm Dr. Ben Carson. I'm here with former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, an author, a former United States attorney, a podcast host, even a Big Ten football star. I bet you didn't know that about him, did you? It's all kinds of things. But Matt, let's talk about your book, Above the Law, the Inside Story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. Why did you write that book?
Well, as you know, I was at the Department of Justice at a very critical moment in American history. It was in the middle of the Mueller investigation, and I saw a lot of things that are a continuation of some of these topics we've talked about today. And I just felt like it was important to tell an unvarnished, true story. It was obviously with an angle that I have a lot of respect and admiration for President Trump and what he accomplished in office. And while I was there, I saw a lot of good things. But at the same time, I had to tell the story and really give the, footnoted history of how we ended up, at the Mueller investigation and make sure that by telling that story, it never happens to another American president again. Unfortunately, I feel like I'm going to have to do an Above the Law 2 that picks up and talks about the issues that we're dealing with today.
Absolutely, and there are a lot of them. Well, interestingly enough, I think many of the problems that we're facing today are secondary to the propagation of misinformation and manipulation by the mainstream media. And, of course, the press is the only business protected by our Constitution. No other business. And that was because they were supposed to disseminate unbiased information. They're not doing that. That's a problem. Can you see any potential solution to that?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And you and I have both been victims of not only unfair, but untrue stories during our time in the Trump administration. I think we're moving back. If you look at American history, sort of the partisanship of the press has ebbed and flowed. And I think we're at a point now where it's going back to having partisan media outlets. I just can't imagine a way that we're not going to be back to sort of our Civil War era, kind of 1850 to 1900s. After Watergate, there was a belief that somehow the mainstream media was going to be unbiased and was going to tell the truth. And that franchise that they took advantage of obviously helped one political party on the left by manipulating, really outside of the sight of the American people, the news, and feeding them a partisan, screed and partisan stories. And I think now the American people, there's more outlets than there's ever been. And I think that's a good thing. And I think, you should seek out not only a diverse amount of news, but obviously the veracity is so important because most news now is commentary. There's very little actually of news events that happen. We have press conferences all the time, but those aren't news. We have very, very little is actually being done. So most is commentary and opinion. And so we need to, as those that, digest and are users of the media, we need to be very discerning as to where we get our information and make sure we understand that most information is, quite frankly, complete garbage. And some of us, including myself, need to maybe get a life by not paying so much attention to the ebbs and flows of the news and, kind of going out and whether it's, painting the deck or mowing the yard or doing, taking care of the family. I think we need to all, kind of consume less news, but make sure we're very careful as to where we get that news from.
Well, one thing that has been very helpful are podcasts like yours. that help people to actually see the truth. And I think that may be the thing that actually saves us, the fact that decent and honest people are actually able to get their voices heard. And I just want to thank you for being with us today. I know your dance card is very full, and you probably got more media to do today. And I appreciate you coming and talking to us and sharing your wisdom and for the work that you're doing to help save our nation.
Well, I have a big fan of yours. And I think if the American people really appreciated kind of how talented of a surgeon you were and how you, instead of pursued that through the, you know, you decided that you would become a public servant, run for president, ultimately serve in the cabinet. And I think you're, you know, as they say, the best is yet to come for you. And so I'm excited to be a friend and an ally and a fellow patriot. And it's my honor to be on your show. I think, you know, what you're doing and sharing with the American people, your perspectives is so important. So thank you for having me on. And let's do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back with my closing comments and prescription for you for this week. Welcome back, and thanks to Matthew Whitaker for taking time out to be with us today. And you can listen to his podcast, Liberty and Justice with Matt Whitaker, through the regular channels. You know, never in my lifetime did I think we would see our governmental institutions using their power and influence to persecute and intimidate Americans who have different political views. I mean, people wanted to have freedom of speech and freedom of thought. That's why they came to America. And now we're seeing things that remind us of Chairman Mao in China or Castro in Cuba. And people seeing our constitutional rights as obstacles to their ever ascending desire for totalitarian control. And of course, when you say things like that, they say, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. Oh, well, what did they know? What are they talking about? Well, you don't have to believe what I'm saying. All you have to do is open your eyes and open your ears and listen to your heart. We all know that there's a big problem going on in our country right now. People have lost faith in government. The CDC, the NIH, the Department of Justice, the Fed. Everybody's losing confidence. How can we have a strong country when the people don't believe in our government? What happens if we actually wind up in a real war if people don't believe in our government? And we could easily end up in a real war because we're becoming weaker, and weakness invites war. So just remember, we don't want to neglect our founding principles, the things that made us into a great nation. We cared about each other. We had a strong sense of community and purpose and faith. We believed in God. We believed there was right and there was wrong. What has happened since we threw those things out? What happened in our school systems when there is no right or wrong? When we can redefine science according to our political beliefs, what is the end result of that? Go back and read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. You'll see a lot of stuff going on that reminds you of what's going on here today. Well, let me leave you with your common sense prescription for this week. I'm going to plug something that I'm very proud of at the American Cornerstone Institute. It's called our Little Patriots Program. Looking out for the children. And we're going to be doing a national tour, bringing a Little Patriots program attention to it, to various communities in our country. And I'd like you to go to our website. That would be littlepatriotslearning.com. And fill out the form there. Tell us about your community, about the homeschooling, the private schooling, the public schooling, the church programs that align nicely with Little Patriots. Because we might want to come to your community and talk about it and see how we can enhance the program. We have to make sure that our children know the real history of our country, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I got to tell you, there's a whole lot more good than there is bad and ugly. And we have to put it in perspective. What a difference it will make. And please subscribe for free to our Apple Podcasts, or go to Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Evaluate us, rate us, tell your friends and family about us. We want to keep growing. We want people to know that America is a place full of people with common sense. Until next week, remember, faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.